You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John chapter 3. I am again grateful for the privilege to be here, as I always say everywhere I go, because I mean it. I know that there are thousands of Baptist preachers that Brother Billy could have asked to have come, but I feel honored and blessed of God to have had this privilege. For all these years, it did kind of hurt me that nobody liked me the first time I was here, but I'm glad we moved beyond that, and it's been such a blessing, of course, to be here, and I do appreciate your prayers and your friendship down through these years, and these dear men of God, many of them have been my friends for a long time, and it's just an honor to be in their presence, and I certainly do appreciate every message that we've heard. Everyone has spoken to my own heart. Of course, all the wonderful songs by all of you has been such an encouragement to my heart. Just thank you so much for allowing me to have this privilege to be a part of this great meeting. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Of course, I do love Brother Billy Barhoe. He and Miss Gloria, they're special people, and I certainly thank God for him. As I've told you before, I have picked up a few of his sayings down through the years that don't always go over just right, but I love Brother Billy. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's bow our heads, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every lust, every action, every attitude, anything and everything about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that you cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between my heart and thee. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Thank you for the servants of God, for their faithfulness in preaching your word. I thank you for speaking to my own heart. Thank you for this church, for their labor, for their sacrifice. Thank you for this dear man of God, this dear pastor, he and his dear wife. And I pray that you'll give him physical strength and spiritual anointing. Heavenly wisdom, not only as he leads this meeting, but does all the work that you've called him to do. Bless every faithful man of God that is here, every missionary in their place of service. I pray, Lord, that you will be pleased to revive us again, that thy people may rejoice and sinners shall be converted. Lord, should there be those among us tonight that are strangers to the grace of God, that have never been to Calvary by faith. May this be the hour they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy and grace and pardon and peace with the Lord. I pray now that you will be pleased to touch thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. And loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray for Brother Mark as he shall come. Thank you for him, and I pray that your power shall be upon him. Lord, may everything that is done and said in this place tonight be to the approval and the praise and the glory of God. May there be no parade of the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise and glory. We will praise you for all that you're pleased to do in this hour. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at these verses that I've read from 1 John chapter 3, in His likeness. Now, the early believers, of course, were called Christians first at Antioch. It was not a name that they gave themselves, but it was the name that was given to them by a godless and graceless world because of their identity with the Lord Jesus. It is the ambition, it is the hope of every person saved by grace to be like Christ. Now, of course, that means nothing to the unsaved. And I'm afraid that there are multitudes of people whose names are on a church roll who have never had the least thought or the desire to be like Christ. Do you want to be like Jesus? You do if you're saved. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We don't expect to be like Christ by anything that we do by our own nature. The basis, of course, is His divine love and saving grace. If there is a desire within you to be holy, it is from God. It is the work of God. A person can no more save themselves than they can birth themselves into this physical life. You can never birth yourself into the kingdom of God. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The reason? Lest any man should boast. The only hope that we have of ever becoming like our Lord is the wonderful fact that God will perform it. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He will lead many sons and daughters, of course, to glory as we consider in His likeness. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We are positionally like Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John uses that word, behold. That's a word of wonder. John had lived among wonders from the moment that God saved him until he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and God gave him the wonderful vision of the revelation of Jesus Christ. You remember that it was John who wrote and describing our Lord that was baptized by John the Baptist. Jesus called him John the Baptist. He's not John the Sprinkler, but John the Baptist. And it was John the Baptist identified so with the Lord, who was preaching down on the creek bank, the river bank. And he was preaching repentance. And he would not baptize them until they brought forth fruits that were meat for repentance. He wasn't down on the river Jordan giving away free camel rides to get a bunch to baptize. But he baptized them when they gave evidence of real repentance. And one day John says of John the Baptist, he looked up, and there he stood. The one that he'd been talking about stood before him. As you remember, that there was a time that John the Baptist and Jesus had come into contact before they were born. Now, of course, the Holy Ghost had overshadowed the womb of the Virgin Mary. And an angel had appeared to Elizabeth and told her that she was going to have a son who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And see, one day the little Virgin Mary tiptoeing across the hillside to her cousin Elizabeth. And she was praising God for what God was doing. John the Baptist hadn't even been born yet. And he cut a flip in his mother's womb. He was a Baptist praising God. And so that met before. And he looked up one day, and there stood the Lamb of God. That's Him. That's the one I've been telling you about. He is here. And of course he was baptized. And as he was baptized, he came up out of the water. I don't believe that. I believe, of course, that he was immersed. I am a Christian by conversion. I'm a Baptist by conviction. I am grateful that heaven is made up of every person, though, that has been saved by grace, regardless of denomination or title. Somebody says, you think only Baptists are going to heaven? Of course not. I'm worried about a whole lot of them. I know that the only qualification to enter into heaven is that you must be born again, whatever label that you may have. And I don't know how I got into all of that, but John uses the word, behold. You remember that it was the word that he used in the Revelation when he was talking to the church, and Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. It was John who said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He would dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. And so John uses this word of wonder. Behold, what manner of love that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The Bible says that the goodness of God, the love of God, leadeth men to repentance. When I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross he became sin for me and paid the debt that a holy God could pardon and save me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Brother George said this morning, it is an amazing thing, an astounding thing to be told, to be reminded, God loves you. He does love you. I know that he loves the whole world. But John, you remember, said once, identifying himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. And I know, as the Apostle Paul said, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I know he loves Billy Barlow, Kenneth Jackson, and all of you others. But I know this personally. He loved me. He died for me. He gave himself for me. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. But it was John who also wrote in the same book, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, modern evangelism sometimes speaks so glibly, so lightheartedly about salvation. Don't ever lose the wonder of the fact that God has saved you. Somebody asked Gypsy Smith, the famous evangelist of the beginning of the last century, what's the secret of your success? And Brother Allen, he said, I've never lost the wonder. Don't ever forget where God found you. Don't ever forget that there is any virtue, any good thing about us. We ought all to Calvary's Lamb. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And we consider this wonderful love. Study it. Rejoice in it. And tell it. We're saved by looking to Jesus. And we're sustained by looking back to the crucified one. And throughout eternity, we shall look upon him who bled and died for us. This love of God means that we have been selected by God. It is undeserved love. This is the only planet that the Lord God created and placed man on this planet. This is the only planet that God's Son came to die on the cross to redeem a people for Himself. As a matter of fact, before God made anything that was made, before He flung the stars out into space, in the untrodden tracks of an eternity past, it was determined by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost that His Son would come to this earth, walk up Calvary's hill, pay our sin debt, and make salvation possible. He has appointed His Son, had appointed His Son in eternity past to be the Savior of a race of people in a world not yet created. And the Lord Jesus came out of eternity into time, hung between heaven and earth, and paid my debt of sin. What love, what indescribable love. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. This love is through God the Father. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now it's one thing to call ourselves children of God, but it's another thing to have the Father call us His children. And yet He has identified Himself as our Father. Those of us that He has saved by His grace, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. In loving kindness have I drawn thee. As I've said before, sometimes people, I think, have the idea that if I just knew that I was being drawn by cords of love, I would come. And I wish that I could know that I was being drawn by cords of love. I think if that's your attitude, you probably are. You are being drawn by love from everlasting to everlasting. God loves us with an everlasting love. 2 Corinthians 6:18. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. Deuteronomy 33:29. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people, say by the Lord. No one can have the joy and the blessedness as the children of God have. Loved by God the Father. We're loved by Jesus Christ the Son. It is because of His love and the debt of sin that was paid that we can even call the Father of Jesus our Father. You remember Jesus said to those discouraged few, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. But Jesus said to that little group, "He's not only my Father, He's your Father." And Hebrews 2 says that He's not ashamed to be called, to call us, rather His brethren. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're loved through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He bears witness with our spirits that we are the Son of God. It is He who hath given us the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. As a matter of fact, it is the Holy Ghost that was the agent that put this love in our heart. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Do you remember a time, a moment, when the love of God flooded your heart and something rose up in your soul that you'd never experienced before? You knew that you had been lifted from sinking sand to plains of light. You had been taken out of miry clay. Your feet had been placed on the rock. And there was a song in your mouth of even praise unto God. I was just thinking earlier, and I nearly had a fit. I just thought about it. It will be 60 years ago. This coming April the 15th. I know it's April the 15th because my pastor had written it down and he showed it to me some years later. But it was on that blessed night the Lord saved me by grace. As I've often said, Brother Mark, I remember the first morning I woke up saved. And I woke up every morning since saved. And there will never be a time that I won't wake up saved. Thank God my name is written there. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I'm too old to preach his heart. But thank God for that blessed moment when God in mercy and in grace came to me in saving power. Love through the Holy Ghost. And then it is unending love. If God makes you a son of God, it is done forever. Hebrews says that as a son, he learned obedience that he might become the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. What do you reckon eternal means? Eternal. What God does is everlasting. If God saves you, it's an everlasting work. And as a matter of fact, the best is yet to come. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he gets here, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. I don't think I'd bother or waste time preaching about a salvation that would last. And then after all, let me slip into hell. I cannot believe, Brother Billy, that God would put such joy and peace in my heart. And then one day if I make a false step, it's all right. You blew it. You've lost it. You're going to hell. Foolishness. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. When God saved me by grace, he performed an eternal work. I give unto my sheep everlasting life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Sounds like it's eternal. Unending love. We believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again. By justification. We're about to celebrate that. The Lord willing this coming Lord's Day. And we celebrate it every Lord's Day as a matter of fact. The day that our Lord got up out of the grave. And announced that he had conquered death and hell. He was delivered for our offenses. And raised again for our justification. Now, Jesus had not been raised from the dead. We have no guarantee that the work of salvation, redemption, was completed. If Jesus had died and was alive somewhere in the spirit world, and yet never returned to earth, we'd have no hope. But he died, and he went down to the lower parts of the earth. And I can imagine our Lord going up to the devil. The keys of death and hell had swung on the devil's belt for 4,000 years by the right of conquest. But I imagine our Lord going up to the devil and saying, I'll have those. And he led captivity captive and took them on high. And got up out of the grave on the third morning. And the Bible declares it, many appeared in the whole city. Of having been raised from the dead. He died for us. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. The Lord Jesus died, making salvation possible. But the resurrection is a certificate that the debt was paid. And yonder in the courts of heaven, it is registered, paid in full by the blood of Calvary's Lamb. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Well, I didn't get through the first point. But I think that's enough, Brother Billy. We'll see what happens later.